So that brings us to agenda item eight. Discussion and possible action on the report from the technical consultant, Tony Smith. And you have some, why don't you introduce your, who you have with you from Corolla?
I have a whole, not just Corolla, I've got a whole squad here today.
Yeah.
You don't normally just see me because I'm a big target, but brought along today James Beach with AGS, Advanced Groundwater Solutions. Ron is not part of our team, but he snuck onto our table. Bridget Buff with Plumber. Rhea Jodhoff is a new addition to our water resources team, and you'll be hearing from her just like you're hearing from me eventually. And Megan Fuentes, I'm sorry, I didn't know the last name, with AGS. And they're all here in various capacities, but you get to see the whole squad today. And actually, Bridget is going to present on Chapter 7 today, which is, I don't want to steal your thunder, so come on up and get going. I promise they're thankful to not be listening to me for an hour.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. I promise. I'll keep it on. Okay, Bridget Buff with Plumber Associates. Thank you guys for having us here. And so I will come on. Okay, and so I'm here to present related to drought response activities, updates, information, and what we're moving forward with current recommendations for the IPP. We're primarily working on Chapter 7 right now at this point at Plumber. And so I just want to kind of give you an update of what was recommended and input as part of the 2021 plan, what pieces of those we're moving forward into the IPP over here in the next few months. And so this is kind of an outline of that entire chapter. So there's 11 different sections within this. We're going to be focusing on mostly the first four. Those have a lot more discussion items. And so we'll be focusing on the droughts of record, uncertainty, and droughts worse than drought of record. This is a new section, so we'll focus a little bit on that so you guys know what that means. Current drought preparations and response, and drought response triggers and actions. So like I said, we're going to focus on those. But in addition, when in the draft chapter, you will see existing and potential emergency interconnects, drought management, water management strategies, emergency responses to local drought conditions, other drought-related considerations, development of region-specific model drought contingency plans, drought preparedness council report, and other drought recommendations. The rest of these are similar to what was seen in the 2021 plan. Nothing overly exciting or new in those sections. So we'll just focus on the first four. There are some discussion points that I would like to point out and probably get some feedback from the group before we move too far down in drafting that. So that first section of the chapter would be droughts of record. The 1950s drought was considered the drought of record in the 2021 plan and continues to be the drought of record for the overall area for Brazos G. There were four different criteria that were reviewed as part of that. The Palmer Drought Severity Index, or PDSI, water availability modeling updated by Corolla, naturalized stream flow, and groundwater through AGS. So each of those four were criteria that were used to determine the current drought of record. So recommendations from these evaluations are similar to the 2021 plan that was put forth. For the upper Brazos G area, the 1950s drought is considered the drought of record, but there are some of the 2010s time period, like the 2011 drought, was considered for modeling efforts as well. And then for the mid and lower Brazos G areas, those also reflected the 1950s drought as still continuing forward as the drought of record for this cycle. Section two, as I mentioned, is a new section for this cycle. There are three main required components for this section: planning for uncertainty, existing measures for preparedness for the drought worse than drought record, and potential additional measures. So first, for planning for uncertainty, this is pretty much just how Brazos G can demonstrate that you considered uncertainties over the planning effort. Similar to other regions, Brazos G has used the baseline demand, which would be reflective of those dry conditions. So those will be a little bit higher than average and provide a little bit of buffer. So it'll be a bit conservative, more conservative numbers in the planning efforts. In addition, safe yields were used in the water supply availability analysis for some of the areas. Secondly, we have existing measures for preparation of drought worse than drought on record. Brazos G's approach includes using drought management measures outlined in drought contingency plans. I'll go into that a little bit more detail on the next slide here. In addition, we're using a supply management factor, which basically that's just looking at the ratio of supply versus demand. So you want a higher supply than you have demand. And so you can look across the area and see what areas you want that number to be greater than one for that ratio, for example, and make sure that you're planning for extra across the horizon. Lastly, potential additional measures for resilience. So this basically is the Texas American Water Works Association sent out a survey looking for the feedback on the effectiveness of drought management strategies. This was sent out to 116 utilities, and the results of that survey basically said that monetary consequences during times of drought and irrigation schedules were considered the most helpful. But they did also note that those monetary consequences were observed to be less effective over time. So that's just something to kind of keep in mind and things that we're looking for as we're reviewing some of these drought contingency plans. So related to the response to the drought, so this is looking at water demand changes over here on the right-hand side, water demand changes for the past 10 years in GPCD for WUGs across Brazos G from 2010 to 2020. So you'll see that in the time period between 2012 and 2013, there was a 27.5% reduction in usage across the area on average, which is larger than was seen in other regions. So good job. But then as you see across 2015 to 2020 for that latter half, those numbers appear to be stabilizing. And so that stabilizing GPCD trend indicates that you're not going to be able to achieve that same prolonged level of reduction year over year into eternity, you know, until you get down to almost nothing, basically. And that baseline demand there, you can see that spike there in 2011 is reflective of a dry year demand, and that's the number that we were mentioning it was being targeted for providing a buffer for supply planning. The third main section of the chapter is current drought preparations and response. So to update on this section, we've reviewed a whole lot of DCPs, or drought contingency plans. A total number of 96 different drought contingency plans have been received from entities across the Brazos region. To put that into perspective, entities required by Texas Water Development Board to submit DCPs in the area is 106. So it's not still 100%. There have been 32 submitted updated DCPs in the 22 to 24 timeframe, but we have from the previous cycle, we've got 28 from there, and there's been 46 entities that have not submitted any sort of update in the last two cycles. In addition, we've also received non-required DCPs, that would be a total of 36 from entities that are not actually required to submit one, but they are being proactive in having one. Or sometimes, a lot of times, it'll be that the major water providers are requiring that any of their customer cities also implement a drought contingency plan. So a lot of the times, that's when we'll be getting those. We have not received any from Groundwater Conservation District DCP submittals. So our next step here is just to go back to some of those that we have not received or were expecting to receive one. So Texas Water Development Board did provide a list to each of the regions saying based on their size and the requirements, this is the list of every water utility group that was expected to have submitted a drought contingency plan on the May 1st deadline. And so we are going through that list and emailing and reaching out by phone for any of those that we were expecting to get one from, just to make sure that maybe they didn't, you know, submit it directly to the region and it's not listed on their website, but sometimes they can just email it to us or it fell through the cracks somewhere. So we're going to continue to reach out to them and use those numbers to update Chapter 7 for that particular piece. The last section I want to touch on is the drought response triggers and actions. This is where I want to get a little bit of feedback on this one. So the requirement is that you identify triggers and actions by sources. So that'd be surface water and groundwater. And you also identify a source manager that would kind of be in charge of kind of lording over the triggers and actions. The approach from last cycle they were not established just due to the large variation in the geographic area and large numbers of rivers and reservoirs in Brazos G. So the question is, I know it says requirement on there, but do we want to, as a region, follow a similar approach for this cycle? I guess that's the question. We're recommending to identify triggers and actions by sources and identify a source manager for each of those to push forward those drought contingency measures and the drought management measures, as opposed to last time they were not established. So as a region, this is where I'd like to open the floor for discussion on how you would like to proceed for this chapter.
So you're asking the group whether they want to identify triggers and actions and then a source manager, or do like we did last time and not establish?
Correct. Last time there was not really a person in charge by source that identified and were promoting the triggers and actions related to that source.
Okay, so why don't you tell us what, so the first one up there, why don't you tell us what that would pertain, or how much work that would be, or what that would pertain to?
And so
identifying the triggers and identifying a source manager.
So what that would entail, currently we've got drought contingency plans from different water utilities that are all pulling from the same source, but there hasn't really been a good look that from all the ones from the same source, are all of their triggers and actions the same across that source? And so what we're promoting or recommending is that for that particular water source, they all need to be on the same page. We don't need to have some people a little bit more stringent than others. And so for that particular source, there should be a source manager that basically dictates or, you know, pulls those together, even either on their side or on our side, and says, this is the numbers, you know, we can provide what has been provided for that source, but that source manager would be in charge of deciding and coordinating among the different users for that source to get everybody on the same page.
I don't guess I completely understand. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lucy.
So my question is that essentially having somebody then write everybody's drought contingency plan that's within the same water source rather than each entity writing it themselves? So will it be dictated to that, say it's coming out of Possum Kingdom, that everybody in Possum Kingdom area would then have the exact same triggers and same action by source?
So yes and no. I don't think there would be like a master one written that somebody would say, here's your master drought contingency plan that you need to use. It would be at least saying, here are the triggers that we as a source would like to have you put into your plans.
Isn't that the same thing?
Kinda.
Can be. Technically, yes. Given the numbers versus the entire plan.
And where would this source manager reside? Is it within in this group? Is it at Water Development Board? Who's going to be doing this approving?
Hi, Ron Ellis, Texas Water Development Board. So this is a new requirement. That's why I wasn't in the last plan. That took me a moment. Hopefully I can provide some clarity. The requirement is just to identify the triggers and actions by source, not to recommend that they be different or to establish any kind of master triggers and sources. The rule actually allows the planning group consultant to use the triggers and actions in the drought contingency plans of those water users to create, I guess I would call it, an inventory of triggers and actions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to having a clearinghouse of saying we collect them. Here's what other entities are using without saying what entity it is. In other words, here's some of the triggers that we, you know, I'm not opposed to that, but I don't know about putting names or having somebody identify somebody that's going to oversee all that.
I think when it says identify the source manager, that is the entity that holds the water right or the authorization to use water from that source. So this is public information. You're okay. Not naming a manager. You're identifying who filed that drought contingency plan that identifies these triggers and sources. So I'm just trying to think of an example where I know there's multiple managers. I mean, you brought up Possum Kingdom. I mean, obviously BRA is a source manager for Possum Kingdom. You know, I don't know if there are other water users with water rights out of PK, but they would also, any other water right holder would be a source manager also. And their drought contingency plan triggers and actions would fall under Possum Kingdom.
Okay. Well, we may come back to you in a minute.
That's fine.
David Collinsworth has
I think comment. The key from our perspective is to have the flexibility to work with each individual customer that we sell raw water to, because every customer is different. They all have their different strategies and struggles. And when we go to phase one or phase two or phase three, it's based on water levels and capacity in the reservoir. And that's what we're sending out to our customers. And they need to meet those goals. And how they meet those goals is up to them. And we don't try to manage that or get involved in that. So the flexibility to have that relationship with our retail provider is really important.
May I ask a follow-up of Mr. Collins?
Yes,
Dirk. So they're talking about triggers and actions. So you guys recommend a specific trigger, but you don't get into the weeds on the actions it takes for each of them to attain that.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, and we're doing ours based on a total storage of a reservoir, and then each customer has to figure out how they want to do that.
That makes
based on their sense. Based on their challenges and opportunities to make revenue to pay for their debt.
Okay, Kenny Weldon has
okay. Yes, this may be a Water Development Board question I'm asking, but on the previous slide I was a little confused about the DCP status, because you know, we said we'd received 96 of 106, and so I thought, well, that's good. And then no submission from 46. So I thought, well, that's bad. So which is it? I mean, I I'm suspicious here that there may not be submissions from municipalities because they don't know, or they haven't heard yet, or they haven't answered the mail because they get a bunch of mail and they don't know which mail to answer. So let me just use that as a background to my question. This is a new requirement that is a policy that has been put in place that is in its infancy of adoption that may be getting it. And this is my question, kind of understanding where are we in the state of drought contingency plan management.
So the new requirement is only the planning group identify these triggers and actions.
Okay.
The DCP submittals is an existing requirement.
Right. It's been a requirement, but I guess it was a policy put in place. Why was it put in place? Why was the requirement that we're looking at on the next slide, why was it invoked?
Just to inventory by source in the regional water plan what the drought triggers and actions, which are the components of the drought contingency plan, just to inventory what they are for the sources.
So I hear that answer that it's more of a what's our status? Where are we in this? Than trying to come up with new criteria.
And my understanding is the intent is not for y'all to change the criteria or influence the criteria. It's to inventory the criteria.
So if there are let's use surface water for an example. No, let me use groundwater. So groundwater, if there are the entities that use groundwater, if there are 25 different triggers then we had to just identify those triggers in the plan. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And the source manager would be naming
the entity that
the city of Bryan uses groundwater. As just naming them as a source manager, not which triggers they go to.
Well, you would identify the source managers for each source, and you would identify triggers and actions for each source.
So you'd break them out.
And
so some of them may be duplicative because some may be using the same triggers.
But
and all that is public information currently? Okay.
It can, well, you have the option to take this from the drought contingency plans. I mean, you could do your own survey of the source managers if you prefer, but this information is in the drought contingency plans.
Okay. Go ahead, David.
Are we just asking, is this basically taking all the information that all of these users submit to TCEQ and putting it in? Okay,
yeah.
We're on the same page.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was
trying to get to.
We are repackaging information that's dispersed amongst 100 some odd drought contingency plans. And in this cycle, we've been asked to also present it and or organize it in a way by source. So it's just like adding an extra set of tables in the plan that's saying, okay, by source, let's organize all those triggers so we can get some information like, are they all the same? Do they wildly differ? But we're just repackaging that information by source, and that's a new kind of wrinkle that we're adding to the 26 plan. That's in essence what we're doing.
But we're not,
setting
ourselves up to go chase the 46 non-submissions, are we?
No, technically they're required.
They're required by
TCEQ.
Statute.
Right, they're required by statute to submit it to TCEQ and BRA. And we're saying there's 49 that have, and I will tell you, I asked TCEQ if I could get my hands on what's been said, you know, thinking maybe the regulator would get more submittals to them than we might get, you know, just because some of those municipalities might understand, well, we got to submit it to TCEQ, and TCEQ kind of balked at that. So, I'm not sure if we're going to get it because they have, you know, thousands to go through.
Could I have a question on this, Lynn?
Yeah, I think this is a great idea for surface water because I don't manage surface water.
Objection.
Sorry, David.
You're all right.
But I think we need to at least throw this out for, you know, for thought, not necessarily, we're not making a decision on this little piece, but, you know, 90% of my users are agriculture, irrigated agriculture. If I ask them for a drought contingency plan, I'm going to make sure that I give them somebody else's phone number for them to.
Don't give them mine.
No. But, you know, seriously,
yeah.
if we want to incorporate that groundwater and surface water and actually make it something relevant, we need to think about how we're going to handle those entities that are not required to.
Yeah, I don't think we include them. It'd just be the ones that submit their drought contingency plans to CEQ.
Okay.
That's where they drop. Jim Briggs.
I don't want to get into the weeds too much, but these recommendations to the previous plan, can you give me a reason or more detail on one? I've got two questions. One is similar nearby entities. So similar nearby entities, is that, I mean, they may be in another basin or another area. I mean, but I just, that seemed fairly, you know, generic and out there, and I'm like, does that even necessarily apply that you have to have something to similar? I was just a question.
I feel like that's allowing some flexibility.
Okay. So doesn't really mean anything. It just is out there. So allows flexibility. Then this second question I had was, when you talk about encouraging, again, to Lynn, comment, local irrigators and steam electric operators to assess their vulnerabilities.
Oh, this slide, we haven't gotten to this one yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just.
I think he's one slide ahead.
I like Jim.
I just, well, all right, and maybe I, but my question on electric generators is, my experience has been, and Alan can jump in, is when you get into drought situations, which typically when they occur, the demand for electric energy is going to be at its peak, which means those are going to be rolling heavily. And so I just throw that out as, I don't see where they have the opportunity, but I think that'd be incorporated. We'll figure that out.
But you must be ready to go, Jim. You're ahead of us.
I'm sorry. I was scrolling through the presentation here, and I was like,
"What?" David Collinsworth has. Okay. Any other comments? Go back a slide. Go back. Yeah. Gary Newman.
Just real quickly, maybe this is simplifying it. We have been addicted to do this data. The TCP.
Been asked to.
Yeah.
Do we have to?
Okay.
Well, then why are we discussing?
Yeah, if we have to, why are we?
That's why we're recommending it.
Cut to the chase, Tony.
Well, I thought we had an option between the two.
You stole my thunder.
I'm so,
aren't we required to do this? We talked for 35 minutes. We need to figure out how to get
good discussion. Yeah. So I guess
that's why I was moving ahead in the presentation.
Gary says yes. Since it's a requirement.
Right. And we did it last. We did data.
We didn't do it last time.
Right? This is new this time.
This is new.
Okay. So it's not a whole lot more work. You could say, well, maybe the fee for the engineer.
Well, hopefully they have the information from the drought contingency plans.
Right.
And it says.
Well, here's what I'm saying is, let's do that.
Okay. You can go to your next slide now.
Thank you. So, not to confuse us further, these are a list of recommendations that were directly copied from the 2021 plan that Brazos G recommended last time. I'm going to go through these, and we can have some discussion if you would like to keep these as recommendations in the 2026 plan. So, Brazos G supports promoting demand management during droughts, but emphasizes it should not be considered a new source of supply. So basically what that means is that you're considering demand management during drought conditions to be a short-term reduction, that it would not be carried forever and ever, every single year. You're not going to be able to see that same level of reduction. So that's what that recommendation means, is that it's going to be considered a demand reduction portion, but not as a new source of supply.
And that's what we use in the 2021 plan.
Correct. All of these are directly from the 2021 plan.
All right. Any questions for Bridget?
On the first one only.
Yeah, first 7.6. If not, we're taking that as yes, that's what we'll do. Okay, move forward.
Okay, 7.8.1, Brazos G advises WUGs without DCPs to refer to their water providers' DCPs as examples, especially if they use local surface water or similar nearby entities.
So okay, any questions?
The question came up.
Yeah, any questions for that? You want to repeat your question, Jim? Okay.
I was trying to move us forward. And keep
yeah,
going.
I know you were. All right, so silence is saying that's okay to use in the 2026 plan. Yeah, it is. All right, go to the next one.
7.8.2, for those using local groundwater, Brazos G suggests reviewing DCPs from both their water providers and groundwater conservation districts or similar nearby entities.
Okay, any comments on that one? We'll use it. Next.
Okay, 7.10, the Brazos G Water Regional Water Planning Group encourages local irrigators and steam electric operators to assess their water supply vulnerabilities and plan actions for drought conditions.
Did you want to say anything more on that, Jim? Is that okay? I mean, is that language, I think, is probably okay? What do you think, Dale? Yeah, I agree with it. Okay. Anybody else have any comments? Silence means that we'll use it.
Okay, we're almost there, guys. 7.11.3 Brazos G offers no recommendations to the Drought Preparedness Council, nor any recommendations regarding the state drought preparedness plan.
Okay, any comments on that one? We'll continue with that one. Next.
7.11.4 Brazos G recommends that all entities monitor both local and statewide drought conditions to better prepare for and make informed decisions.
Any comments?
This is one quick comment.
Yes, Kenny.
Does the word condition include forecast? Does the word conditions include forecast? Because if you're going to prepare, you think you'd want to know about El Nino, La Nina.
Does condition, which lawyer you ask, right?
Right.
I have no comment.
Belabor the point, but.
So would you like to add
forecast
conditions and forecast?
Yeah.
Is that all right with everybody? Or forecast, whichever needs to come first.
So these will be included as part of the IPP, so you'll be able to review this each time. And so if anything changes, we can certainly add to, edit, revise, remove any of these if anything changes or you have additional information.
So they'll incorporate that into Chapter 7. If anybody else has any comments, y'all go home or read or think, let Tony know. Okay. Anything else, Bridget?
Lastly, it's just next steps. Next steps, we're going to incorporate the feedback that we received. It looks like it's just and conditions is the only one, and continue looking for compiling some of that information, requesting remaining information to finalize Chapter 7, and then obviously you'll get a draft of Chapter 7 to be published by the end of the year as part of the IPP.
Okay. Any questions for Bridget before I let her sit down? Thank you.
Thank you.